Hello, everyone. Welcome to what could well be the shortest Game Club Pod episode we've ever done.
Tim, we're all free to some degree to dance under the lights. I'm just waiting to be rescued to bring me back to life. Kings and queens and in-betweens, we all deserve the right. I'm just waiting to be rescued.
Free Fighters again?
It is Free Fighters again. Rescued off the new album.
Oh, there you go. I'm glad we're sponsored by Foo Fighters.
Can everybody tell that we did three episodes back to back?
Who knows? And who knows in what order? Maybe the audience will be able to piece that together. Slade, how are you doing?
Still good.
Still good?
Yeah, I feel better. I went for a wee and Tim went for a poo.
I did. I feel lighter.
Together we make a number three.
Yeah.
Tim, what is your worst and best poop experience?
I mean, I've told one of my worst ones on Two Blokes from Blighty where I...
I want you to know, you had me, like, I had to explain why I was laughing so hard about your worst one.
What about the toilet seat being still... Because I was super, super hungover.
Yes.
Oh, God, that was awful. I talked about that on Two Blokes from Blighty in a very early episode where I was very drunk the night before, and I don't think I've ever been that hungover outside the time I thought I died on a night out. Mm-hmm. And I went to go for a shit, and I was like, this feels weird, and I and realized the toilet seat was still down. So I had to go back to my hotel and shower. How are you, Slade?
My worst was you... So everybody knows this feeling where you were half awake in a... like, you wake up from a nap, and you're still kind of in a doze. Mm-hmm. And I thought I had to fart, but I shit.
Ah. No, I read a thing on Craigslist once that said when you gamble on a fart, no one wins.
Yeah, so I'm on the couch on my side, a little bit of shit in my underwear, trying to figure out how to get off the couch into the bathroom. From my living room to the bathroom in the hallway. It's not a long distance, mind you, but I would like to do it without getting shit on the floor. So I like army crawled to the bathroom.
Belly down and all.
Yep.
That's amazing. So adjust my webcam. So I'm gonna
What's your best poop?
I don't know, Slade. I don't really keep a track of them. I did used to use an app that was like... it was more to track where you'd had a shit.
Right.
And the whole thing was to build like a map of where you'd done it. That's about it.
Well, I still think my best one, and I posted the photo where I took a photo of the sunset on the side of the Gunshoot Island here in Alabama.
That's right. You put a bucket over it.
Yeah, well, I was shitting in the bucket on some farmer's land, and I left that bucket next to their burn pile.
I mean, at least you gave them fair warning, I'm assuming.
Yeah. No, not really.
Okay, great.
I ever tell you, and I'm not going to say who it was that worked for me, but you know who this is.
That's who I think it is.
Here, I'm going to type it in the chat. You're going to know who this is. And...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So me and another helper, we were out drilling for this big warehouse for Kia, like the car maker. And we were doing 40-foot holes straight down. And around 20-foot, we were hitting water. And there's...
Yes, I do know the story.
In case the audience doesn't know, when I go out to places that people want to build stuff, there's nothing out there for us. So there's no facilities, there's no porta potty. It's just us, and we keep some toilet paper in the support truck. Because we know we're just going to have to lean up against a tree. And, sure. Anyways, me and the other helper gave $10 each to...
I'm gonna beep his name.
You are going to have to beep his name now. To poop down one of the boreholes that were 20 foot or 40 foot with water at 20. And I still have the photo of him squatted over the hole.
What was the one that he did where you would like have to send off a dirt sample or something and he'd sent like his shit in a bag?
No, I just did that because our lab technician at the time was making me mad. We were out in a farmer's field doing some environmental like surveying, and there was a cow turd next to us, so I just bagged the cow turd.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
I just bagged the cow turd and wrote it up to look official.
How many people work your company?
At the moment, about 10.
It's a very small.
It's very small. Yeah.
And you routinely send bags of cow shit to each other.
Not routinely, but occasionally.
The fact that even occasionally is an option. All right, let's get on with the episode, shall we?
I ever tell you about the time I hit a human sewer line?
Yes, you did tell me that. Those things are pressured.
Well, they're pressured, but and everything comes back up the sampling pipe.
Yeah.
I thankfully have a strong stomach. The helper had at that time. We refer to him as the racist because he was.
That's he like did the not... least interesting nickname story.
Yeah.
We call him sexist because he is.
Well, everybody is in a bit way, but it like came up and he was like throwing up on the side of the machine. I was laughing at him throwing up.
All right, should we get into the game?
Do we have to?
Yeah.
All right. Tim, what does this episode contain?
This episode contains spoilers? For Vampire Survivors.
Great. I'm glad it does.
Welcome to Game Club Pod, where we talk about video games once every 2 weeks, not too dissimilar from a book from a book club. I was about to say not too dissimilar from a podcast. I'm Tim at When Bembo and Everything. I'm joined by one of my usual co-hosts, Slade. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good.
Good. Before we get into the main episode of the game, or the main topic of the episode, which is Vampire Survivors, as usual, quick gaming question. Slade, what's the most old piece of gaming history you own?
The copy of E.T. for the Atari 2600.
The game that caused the crash.
Well, it wasn't the entire cause of the crash.
No, but it was a big component.
So, like, if the crash was, like, tilted on the cliffside, this was, like, the sledgehammer swing to knock it all over.
Yeah. I'm looking over at my shelf now. I've got copies of Street Fighter, Third Strike, Street Fighter Alpha, Tekken 1, Mortal Kombat 1, all original copies. Just down there. Although I did see my case for Tekken 1 is broken, which I'm
Tim,
not happy about.
Do you remember the time we played Taskmaster?
Yeah.
And I ran off all happy and smug.
So, to preface this, we played Taskmaster. For those who don't know, it's a game show. Do you guys have it in the States?
We do not. If you watch it, watch the British version. That's the better one. The Australians have one. But
it's not as good.
It's not.
So, essentially, Greg Davies.
Yes. And Alex Horn.
Little Alex Horn. Task four celebrities were doing tasks each week, and they're normally, you know, a little bit silly. They have to get a bit creative, and the points are very arbitrary, a bit like Whose Line Is It Anyway? Mm. And it's just all a bit of fun. And during lockdown, I hosted a on Discord Taskmaster in a Discord I was in, and one of the things I had was go and find a physical game that you own, the lowest score on Metacritic wins. And yep. So Slade ran away being like, oh, I can do this. I can do this. And he comes back with a physical copy of E.T. on the Atari 2600, which is a hell of a find. But the problem is it doesn't have a Metacritic page. So
I didn't get a single point for that.
No points.
I got no points for that. But do you remember the video I made for you about the, and it's also something I got no points for, was how many beans are in a tin of Heinz beans?
I had Slade go to the store and buy a tin of baked beans and count how many beans are in the tin. And I just occasionally showed people the video of Slade counting the beans in the tin and moved on.
So what was great was I had filmed it, but no one knew it was me who had filmed it.
Yeah.
And it was me at the grocery store throwing it in like the buggy or shopping cart, depending where you live, throwing it in there. And there was like multiple ways of me trying to like open it. And one of them, the one that gave it away was when I pointed a gun.
Yeah.
At the can.
But the whole thing was how many beans are there in a tin of beans? And Slade was like, 350 or whatever it was. I was like, all right, thank you, Slade, and then moved on.
Well, no. You were trying to get people to figure it out, and if somebody went over or like got close to it, then I would get points. No one got it.
Yeah.
I was upset by both of these factors. Also, just so you know, Greg Davies, he's really tall. He's 6'8".
He is a huge dude.
Now, you know, he says little Alex Horn.
It's just a little from his perspective.
Do you know how tall Alex Horn is?
No.
6'2".
He's my height.
Yep. Which also makes him 2 foot taller than Joey.
Yeah. Little Joey Fitz.
Little Joey Fitz. That's what we're going to call him from now on.
There we go. All right. So Vampire Survivors is a game that came out on Nintendo Switch. It came out on Android. I'm pretty sure it's on iOS. Came out on Xbox One and PC and Mac on October 20th, 2022 for the PC and Mac. And then some point later on down the line for everything else. It was developed and published by a company called Ponkle. I've made a note here that I've made a note of the full price of the game. And this is something I wish that we brought up in the Stardew Valley episode. Because the value for money on Stardew Valley is through the roof.
Right. Because Stardew Valley right now is $15 USD, and that's not on sale.
I saw a comment on Reddit about Stardew Valley that said Stardew Valley is the only game where I wish it cost more.
Yeah, if Stardew Valley could easily justify like the $60, $80, I'd say $60 retail tag.
Yeah. But the full price for Vampire Survivors is $4.99 in the US and $3.99 in the UK. It is a top-down roguelike area denial shooter thing. We'll get into the gameplay in a minute because it's a little bit tricky to understand. Or rather, it's a little bit tricky to pin down to one genre. But in terms of the accolades and awards, I haven't made a note of like particular scores from IGN or what have you, but what I have made a note of is awards and nominations. So in 2022, at the Golden Joystick Awards, it was nominated for Best Early Access Launch and it won the Breakthrough Award. At the Game Awards that year, it was nominated for Best Debut Indie Game and Best Game on the Go. For the New York Game Awards, it was nominated for Big Apple Best Game of the Year, but it won the Off-Broadway Award for Best Indie Game. At the DICE Awards in 2023, it was nominated for Game of the Year. It won Action Game of the Year. It was nominated for Outstanding Achievement for an Independent Video Game and Outstanding Achievement in Game Design. At the Game Developers Choice Awards, it got an honorable mention for Game of the Year. It was nominated for Best Debut and an honorable mention for Best Design. And at the British Academy Game Awards, it got Best Game. It won that. It was nominated for Best British Game, nominated for British Game, nominated for Debut Game, won Best Game Design, and it was nominated for Original Property. So it's made the rounds. In terms of the awards. But I'm going to get to immediate thoughts with Slade. Not a fan?
Not a fan is the nicest way to describe it. I don't know what you want me to talk about, how the left joystick on the controller feels or how my eyes glazed over after a couple hours. There's nothing to it. It's a bore. And that's like the worst thing a game could be is extremely boring.
Do you want to go into specifics or?
No, there's just nothing to it. You don't do anything other than walk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really boring. I broke a rule. I played it on my phone.
I don't think that's a rule. We're, like, spoilers. We've got Hearthstone coming up and that's a phone game.
Yeah, but I don't play games on my phone.
Sure.
And I've said that in many episodes. I don't play mobile games because I think they're stupid and I'm not a single mom with nothing better to do. It's awful. It's just nothing to it. It is mind-meltingly just it's the best I can do for it. I do have Joey's thoughts, on the other hand.
Let's go to Joey's thoughts.
He said, good game, fun time killer, which I don't agree. Really like the pick up a bowl nature of it. Felt really polished for a mobile game.
Cool. I'm largely in agreement with Joey in that it was very enjoyable. I don't think it's my game of the year or anything, but like it's one that I definitely got really, really into for a while. And it's one of those games where once you start unlocking things like characters and abilities and what have you, it kind of snowballs and eventually just the whole screen becomes flashing colors. But it's very cathartic and satisfying.
I didn't find any of that.
Oh, no, I absolutely love
it. I played this for a few hours. I did one run just to see how long I could live.
That's
and I was just trying. I was trying dumb things. Did you know you could go a really long time if you just hold up?
Yeah.
I watched maybe like 4 or 5 episodes of an anime just holding up on the joystick and not doing anything else.
I think you might have gone between levels because there is a soft limit of 20 minutes per level.
No.
Yes.
Not on the Xbox, at least.
I mean, it's a soft limit of 20 minutes per level because at that point, either the timer counts down or the Grim Reaper comes along.
I never had any of that. Tim, I did a solid hour of this on Game Pass.
But,
and never had that.
So to give everyone an idea, you essentially pick a character, and then you pick a level, which is typically how a video game works. But you are playing from a top-down perspective, and your character has essentially a base ability. It might be throwing knives, it might be a whip, it might be a sword, it might be something magical. It varies from character to character, but you keep slaying endless hordes of monsters that are from Castlevania, which is interesting, considering this game doesn't have any connection to Castlevania. And
I don't think these kinds of enemies are Castlevania specific. No, so maybe like video game specific to Castlevania, but like bats, but like
the
goblins,
the bone dragon
zombies.
Towers are straight from Castlevania. Like sprites.
I never got into that.
So you end up killing endless hordes of enemies who will drop items, or like gems or food or hearts or whatever the case may be. And it's up to you to complete miniature objectives around each map, be that activate certain things on the map or go and find a coffin or get some artifacts. And the more monsters you kill, the more gems you accrue, which allow you to upgrade, and then you can pick your weapon or find treasure chests that contain multiple weapons or multiple rewards. The longer you do this, the more gold you earn, which allows you to unlock more characters and levels, and the cycle continues. It's fun to me because you end up having to... Yes, it's very much just play with one hand on your joystick. That's all you need to do. But the intricacies and understanding of how certain weapons and like level mechanics and even character mechanics all connect with each other, I think that's where the fun is.
I tried multiple characters. I like the whip dude because at least he did damage and it seemed more controllable. But like the point of a game is I should be more involved or more active, I would say.
I don't know if that's true.
And in this case, I felt like I had nothing to do with any of it. It was just walk in a direction, best of luck.
Pick your upgrades, slay enemies, go and do the objectives.
It's not worth your time.
Well, we know Slade thoughts then. So there is, surprisingly, a plot, albeit very, very brief. It's set in rural Italy in 2021. Hordes of monsters are summoned by the evil Basconte Draculo. And they ravage the land, and the Belpasse family and other heroic survivors take it upon themselves to defeat Draculo, mow down thousands of night creatures, and survive until dawn. Vampire Survivors is a gothic horror game with roguelike elements where your choices can allow you to quickly snowball against hundreds of thousands of monsters that get thrown at you.
I'm sorry, this takes place in Italy?
Yeah.
Where Beretta, the gun manufacturer, is?
Okay, but guns don't typically work on vampires.
Silver bullet, my man.
Well, there's werewolves.
Same thing.
They're not. One's a dog.
Well, just tell it to say woof and just take it out. Easy peasy.
I mean, I like the music. You probably didn't.
No.
Cool. Joey didn't comment on the music. So no. We'll go with a middle ground on that.
Middle ground? This is 2 against 1.
Well, no, if Joey didn't comment on it, he can't.
He didn't comment, so that makes it my side, because I didn't comment on it either.
Well, you've just said you didn't like it. That's a comment.
I don't remember it.
It's good music.
It's not memorable.
But it's good music. Hello, everyone. Post-production Tim here. I was listening to this episode, and I personally felt like we didn't touch on a lot of the things that make Vampire Survivors unique and have a lot of replayability. So I just thought I'd record a little something in here to make it a lot more comprehensive of coverage. So this isn't something we'd normally do, but I personally just wasn't happy with the episode. So what I wanted to touch on was some of the system mechanics, some of the characters. So to give you guys an idea, we talked about it in the episode, but the main player input mechanic is to simply walk in a direction and pick your upgrades depending on how many gems you've accrued. Now, that sounds very straightforward on paper, but how that movement works is going to vary depending on what weapons you've selected and even what character you've selected. So, for example, I've got the wiki pulled up here on my left, and I'm seeing characters that have guns and spells and throwing knives and whips, and there's a dog that you can play as, and each of them offer a different base weapon, as it were. So if you've tried using the garlic, for example, which creates an air of effect around the player to kill multiple weak enemies and damage some ones with higher health, then you might want to lean into a character like Poe, who is an old man whose base ability is garlic. So as a result, he has a very strong garlic set of moves. There's Portia as another example, who does randomly base lightning strikes. And I believe it's determined by the size of a group of enemies. So if there's four in one group and like eight in another one, it'll strike them. But each of these characters that you play as mentioned, has their own set of base moves. And as you level up and as you progress through your 30-minute time, by the way, I double-checked in the wiki for this. It is a limit of 30 minutes per level, after which point the level will just kind of end being like, hey, you did it. During that time that you're upgrading, your characters get access to certain weapons and items and upgrades that other characters might not. And there are some characters that have a little bit of crossover with each other. So, for example, you may be playing as Clarice, who has holy water that creates areas of damage, but the holy water comes in from the sides of the screen as opposed to from the players. But in addition to this, they may also get access to the whip, which is Antonio's primary weapon, or the vertical casting magic of Popeia, another character who's like a sorceress of sorts. And it's about the combination of really understanding what your weapon can do against what kind of enemies and level layout and really abilities that you're expecting to get. In some cases, there are boss enemies that you are going to need to be aware of when going into a level. Now, granted, the game doesn't give you that alert or that awareness to what enemies can be souped up to be like mega enemies or bosses. But by playing the game over and over again with these different characters in these different levels and layouts, you get a feel for what works for you and what you can generally expect from each level. To give a primary example of this, I mentioned Popeia has a cast in magic that creates essentially a vertical area of denial above and below the character that kind of fans out a little bit. And that happens maybe every 5 seconds. So what's really good for Popeia, if you're going to play as them as an example, is the second level of the game called The Library, which is a infinite side-scrolling level. Most of the levels in this game do have an outer limit, but the library doesn't, to my knowledge, or at least I never reached it. But you just need to worry about moving up and down and maybe backtracking on yourself to gather gems, as you're essentially creating a wall of death. And that is the best means, at least I found with Poppaea, to level up that character and to really dabble with other character weapons, because each one almost gives you a little preview of what another character can do. I just thought it was pretty paramount that we mention this, and I don't know why I didn't think to bring this up in the episode, but I just wanted to add a little addendum here to the thoughts and just bring it to everyone's attention. We're going to go back to the scores now. Thanks for listening to me kind of rattle off the dome here. Appreciate you listening to my incomprehensible shit. Thank you. All right. Well, again, I said this would probably be a very, very short episode because it really isn't that much to talk about. Let's go to scores.
Sure. Absolutely. Joey sent me his score for this.
What?
He did.
What did he say?
Let me pull WhatsApp back up on my phone here. Joey gave it a 6 out of 10.
Wow.
Tim, what would you like to give it?
I'm going to give it a 7.5.
7.5, wow.
I put it above BlazBlue. I would rather play this than BlazBlue, to be honest.
That doesn't surprise me, if I'm honest.
No.
I'm going to give this a 2.
Wow.
I think it's not worth a damn thing, to be honest. And it's... It's as annoying as that, I forgot what the Barry, the fat dude from Alan Wake.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
This is something that he would play while he's in a public space on full volume at the annoyance of everyone else.
I don't think Barry from Alan Wake would play video games.
I think this is what he would play, and he would play it at full volume to annoy everybody else in a public setting.
I'd personally recommend it on something like a Steam Deck. It's maybe 200 meg. It's very small, and you can get really into sessions very easily. I don't think it works for phones much.
I'd recommend anything else.
So it's a very solid recommend, a possible recommend, and a not recommend.
Yep. Which gives it a 5.16 repeating.
That seems very low to me.
Good.
All right. Well, join us in 2 weeks' time where Joey's back.
Joey's back.
And we're going to be playing Slade what?
Dredge.
I still haven't started it.
You should. It's really good.
I hear it's good. I just haven't it's good. Started
it. I have another game I'm going to add in, which I'm going to...
I'm going to put in right now.
Yeah, I'm going to sub in for something else.
All right. Well, join us in 2 weeks for that, where Slade, what's Joey going to be doing between now and then?
Joey, between now and then, is going to be going to the studio that made Vampire Survivors and telling them that there's more than one button on a controller.
All right, Joe will let us know how that goes. All right, see you in 2 weeks, everyone. Join us in the post-amble because it's a 20-minute episode and we need something.
Because we have to provide more content than this game does.
This game provides lots of content. You're being facetious. See you in the post-amble. Bye.
Bye. Tim, I have something for you here in the post-amble.
What it is?
I sent a message to two friends of ours the other day.
Who it is?
Had an idea because I was having a conversation with my girlfriend.
Sure.
About if you could have a show or movie wiped away from your memory to re-experience it fresh for the first time, what would it be? So I don't know if Dan and I will have done it by then, but he wants to have me on to Casting Views for 5 shows/movies. If you could have wiped from your memory and experience it fresh for the first time, what would those 5 be?
I mean, I mentioned my favorite movie, Parasite.
Right. I'm going to watch that at some point so we can talk about it.
Oh, it's so good. You need to watch it.
As soon as you finish Attack on Titan, I'll watch it.
It's one movie versus an entire milking of an anime.
It's not a moment, but okay. Five things that you could have wiped from your memory and re-experience it fresh for the first time.
Is it five things or five movies and TV?
Movie/show is what I said.
I'd probably do Bob's Burgers. I think that'd be really fun to experience for the first time again. What We Do in the Shadows.
Right.
You ever seen that?
No.
It's very good. I think you'd like it. What else? Probably Whiplash again. Okay. This is going to be a repeat of the preamble of last episode.
Well, two episodes ago.
God, what else would I watch? Yeah, I'd pick something classic like the original Italian Job.
Like, okay, the Italian Job. I was about to say, remember, it's not just TV shows. It's TV slash, you know, movies.
Yeah, I pick movies.
Okay.
You know when I said Parasite, you know I'm not talking about the anime.
No. I'm just, yes, I know. Yeah. I'm just making sure.
Yeah. What about you?
How many? You only got the four.
I did five.
No.
Parasite, Whiplash, Bob's Burgers, What We Do in the Shadows, The Italian Job.
Oh, okay, that's fine. I would re-experience Breaking Bad.
Yeah, you know what? That's a really good call.
Breaking Bad for the first time. Attack on Titan, which is what brought up the whole idea anyway. Because, like, if I could have my memory wiped and rewatch an entire show, start to finish, Attack on Titan would be that show.
Sure.
Those two. What's it called? The Sopranos.
You know, I'm swapping Whiplash for Airplane.
Ooh. Okay. Blazing Saddles. Because, again, that's my favorite comedy.
Sure.
That one, and then Animal House.
You've seen Airplane, haven't you?
I have seen Airplane.
Okay, cool, okay.
I've seen Airplane several times.
Oh, it's so good. There's something new every time I see it. Like, there's one joke that I never noticed until maybe the fourth or fifth watch of it, where the plane is taking off at the end of the movie with the autopilot and his autopilot wife, and there's a choir that are being like, ah, but like,
right.
They get so high in pitch that half of them can't keep up with the tone. And you like hear some of them like losing tone and breaking voice. Like, really funny.
I think one of the best things in the movie Airplane is the whole, is this your first time? Yes, it is.
Nervous?
No, I've been nervous plenty of times.
I've been nervous lots of times. It's like, oh, do you want a smoking or a non-smoking ticket? Smoking, and she hands him the plane ticket and it's on fire.
Have you ever seen Blazing Saddles?
Yeah.
Oh, it's one of my favorite. It's great. The first bit of the movie with the sheriff is near. Never fails to get a good chuckle out of me.
Oh, it's pretty good. I think we should keep this for a really, really short episode for a really short game.
Game in the biggest air quotes.
It's a game.
It's not a game.
It is a game.
They should put more effort into developing a game.
I think they put in a lot of effort.
I think we put as much effort into this episode as they put in into developing.
It's a very low energy episode.
It's a very low energy game.
It's not. It's a lot of energy. You just need to play more. All right. We will see everyone in 2 weeks' time for Dredge.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.